At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes and the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud. I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, everybody, I'm Naomi Ekperrigan.
And I'm Andy Beckerman.
We're a real-life couple and a real-life couple of comedians. And we're the hosts of the podcast Couples Therapy.
We're the only comedy relationship podcast ever. Yeah, I said it. And we're so good, we've been written up in both the New York Times and we made Grindr's list of top podcasts.
Yes, we're giving you that high-low appeal. Trust. On the show, we talk to guests like Bob the Drag Queen, Angelica Ross,
Bowen Yang, Janelle James, Danny Pudi, Darcy Carden, Paul F. Tompkins,
and more. All about love, mental health, and everything in between. And we answer your relationship questions. We are two unlicensed comedians just trying to help you out.
So open your hearts, loosen your butts, because we got a lot of laughs
and a lot of real talk just for you.
Download Couples Therapy wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White, with my esteemed guest today, who is the owner of Creativity, but the company is called The Creatives Catalyst, which I love. You know, I love being creative. Can't you tell? But she's here to tell us about her aha moment. We had a great pre-show, so I wanted to get you in on this woman who lives in Kansas City. Welcome, Emily Williams. And her name is spelled E-M-Y-L-E-E, which I love.
Yes, you can thank my dad for that. He was the advocate for the unique spelling.
Lovely.
Yep, I'm so excited to be here and open up and chat. And there's, I feel like a lot of aha moments I've had throughout my life and career, but we can pick one and dial in on that.
Yeah, I know that you came from the corporate sector, right?
I came from, so I'm a business owner, entrepreneurial, startup founder at heart. I have never held a quote unquote real job.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Don't say that. You've never been in the workplace, but
I've never been in the workplace before. Yes. I graduated college and didn't know what I wanted to do and decided to start my own business. A lot of my family members have their own businesses, a lot of like manual labor things, car detailing, construction, house cleaning, whatever. Right. But I've been raised in, you get to pick your own schedule, your price, your clients, everything. And that is, when you get a taste of that, it's really hard to say no. Yeah. And so back in 2011 is when I first started my very first business as a photographer and segued over the years into strategist, educator, creator of digital products, membership, coach, executive leader, all of the different titles that I've held over the years. I co-founded a company that ended up growing to be this massive multi-million dollar marketing and education company had a template shop, a membership, digital products, group coaching programs, one-on-one services, and everything in between, honestly. A huge audience and a huge cast, and helped over 30,000 students inside of that company. And from the outside looking in, it was my dream job. I had what everyone is working in the online space. Like, I had that. I had that. And last spring, I decided to walk away from everything that that job gave me, the good, bad, and the ugly. I walked away from the title, from the giant list of subscribers, from the clients, from the students, from the millions of listeners and the audience and the followers and all of it. Every intellectual property I'd created over the last 8.5 years, I walked away from all of it. And a six-figure salary, and insurance, and a 401k, everything to save my peace. And it has been
hardest,
best decision I ever made.
I'm going to tell you, it sounds just like me. Like I said, I pre-show, and you all know me, audience, I went back to the workplace in my 50s. And it had an experience that I never thought I would. And I come from out of the real estate realm. I own my own real estate offices. So to experience that, and if you know, male, it was a male dominated in the 1999 when I first started. And it was male dominated, all the brokers were men. Never mind a woman. I mean, I could literally put women in a small room and I could tell you they're all brokers. It's very little, little that there's, women. And I wasn't that challenged until I worked in the workplace. That square box where all these attitudes and unemotional, intelligent folks live. They live there.
The lack
they live
of
there because you think about it, they live thinking. there 8 hours, right? 8 hours a day. They live there.
The lack of critical thinking that's in the workplace is phenomenal. And it is something that comes up continuously in the leadership development that I do with government contracts and large corporation contracts. It doesn't matter what your title is, what you get paid, what you're working on, like the lack of critical thinking and empathy that is rampant in those spaces.
It is not there. And let me tell you, a lot of people that live in that world, especially, corporate, I will say some corporate now, are now being, giving classes in emotional intelligence and things like that. They're trying. But most people, what you can't do, and I've said this to many people, you can't train people out of their habits.
100%.
Can't. They have to go to the therapist to do that.
They
have to see the therapist for that.
Yes.
That they have to do the inner work. So you can't train people to be, sympathetic to culture if they've never been around it. You can't do them. You can't do that to people. Mm-mm. You don't expect them. Or you can teach them that certain things that you say are not appropriate and certain things you do are not appropriate. So they check the box and they don't do them, but they cannot be culturally sensitive. They can have a knowledge of it, but if they've never experienced it, they can't do it.
Yeah.
So a lot of I've learned that. So being who I am, so you met me. This is the first time you're meeting me. So I go into the office and I'm like this. I'm hyper. So I'm like, I want to meet everybody. And everybody's like in their offices, in their cubicles. They're not talking. And I'm like, what is this?
What is
I feel like
here?
I'm on Mars. You know, I feel like I'm on Mars. And I was like, hello.
Uh-huh.
You're the new lady. Yeah. Edna, right? Hi.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, whoa. Now, think of that 12 times.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I can't deal with this already. So already I see the red flags, right? You see them already.
Yep.
So I'm a creative person, and I know that's what you kind of you talk about. You know, you help your clients with being creative, thinking outside the box. I know you help them do all those wonderful things, right?
Yeah.
I'm a creative. I write, I draw, I sing, I just do it all. You know, I'm just fun. I've embraced my funness, you know, and my uniqueness. So it started to weigh on me that they weren't even speaking. And they would rather send an email than get up and have a conversation with you. And it's lo and behold, I didn't realize it started to hurt me.
Yes.
Because I'm not used to that environment. And when you are, it's like putting a circle in a square.
Yep. Yep.
And it was pounding me every day to conform. And it was taking a lot out of me. 4 years of that. So, and I explained to you pre-show, I heard a microaggressive word come from someone and it got to me and I was like, cool.
Yep.
And even in my, I guess I was upset. I'm trying to tell them, this is not what you're supposed to be saying to any woman, any woman. This is not how you dress. You know, this is what you learned, but it's inappropriate to say to any woman, let people speak. And it may not be to your volume,
right?
You know, or to what you're used to because of culture, but let it be.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, you learn that around, you know, I'm sure you had aha moments with all of that, but I do this whole time, this whole, I guess, learning about being in that workplace is challenging.
Yes.
How do you help your clients come when they're coming out of that, because they have to unlearn everything, right?
Yep.
How do you help them?
Well, I think the interesting thing that you're talking about, you know, being in that space of being told to conform, yes, it exists in such a massive level inside the corporate workspace. You're seeing it in the lighting, in the colors that they use, in the cubicle, in the energy of the room. Like it's bleeding out of the pores.
I didn't think about the room. You're so right.
It's everything, right?
Wow.
And those same kind of constraints happen in the online business space. And
really? Are you kidding me?
So I found myself part of what I've been unpacking the last 18 months, because I've been going to therapy to heal from everything that I've been going through for the last 18 months. I left that job, immediately called a friend, and I'm devastated. Everything that I thought the future of my life was going to look like is now stopped. It's paused. It's we need to reevaluate.
Absolutely.
And everything that I had roped into my identity, my worth, my sense of self, was gone. And I was definitely naive in the sense of, you know, because I was in a partnership, right? It was a 50-50 partnership.
Right.
And I 100% expected, I'm going to be leaving this and we are still going to be friends. We are still going to be connected and supportive and can cheer each other on in whatever journey, because I do believe that about people in this space. Mm-hmm. And what I hadn't really connected was that there were so many of those constraints being put on me and that I was putting on myself. Like, it wasn't what people were doing to me. It was what the box that I was allowing myself to be in. And as soon as I started to see another version of what work could be like, what life could look like, what hobbies could look like, there was absolutely no turning back. It's everything you know in therapy. Of as soon as you can see something, there's no unseeing it.
Right.
As soon as you feel the toxicity of a space, you cannot unsee that. And I had to come to the realization that everything that I had expertly designed for myself in this career with my audiences was no longer serving me. So when I set out to create my new thing and my new business, my new brand, my new messaging, I knew that at the end of the day, whatever lens I'm working with clients, it's going to be seen through a lens of authentic intentionality, period. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. If it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't get you the result that you're actually after,
right,
then we don't even need to concern ourselves with that thing.
It's the truth. It's the truth. I'm going to tell you that I've never experienced anything like you did. Like, I literally started to get headaches and get sick upon knowing, and this is during the pandemic,
yeah,
that I had to get on a Zoom with them. And I said, something's off. I didn't want to, I would get up to get up, to wake up, to go back to sleep.
Yeah,
it was weird. I'm not a sleeper in the daytime, you know, unless I'm on vacation or something. And even then, I'm not asleep.
Right.
But I started to notice. And I said, oh, I better go to the doctors. So I went to the doctors. And sure enough, I'm talking to him. He knew me for a while. And he says to me, Edna, first he asked me, he says, I'm going to ask you something. And I said, okay. So he says, you know, do you feel like harming yourself? I said, no. And then so he says, do you feel like harming someone else? I said, yeah, everybody in that Zoom.
Yes, I do.
All of those that in that Zoom. And the minute I said that to him, he started laughing. He said, Edna, I think you need a break.
Yeah.
I said, I'm getting headaches. And I know that I don't know where they're coming from. And it's just at 9 o'clock. As soon as I get on, it's like a headache. I don't hear anything they're talking about. And then I'm asleep. I don't want to get up. I want to wake up to get up to go back to sleep. That's what I want to do.
Yep.
And so I had to take a mental break. And he said to me, last words he said to me, he says, you know, sometimes this is a signal that you have to leave. You have to leave. Sometimes it's good to leave. Yep. Yes, you might not have the things that you think you need. That's exactly what he said, think you need. But you have to leave for your own peace, your own, you know, your own health. He says, because you're fairly healthy. There's not, you know, you're not on medications or anything. And you do all the things you need to. Now you're stressed out. You're gaining weight. And I've never seen you do that. You know,
yeah.
So I'm getting up. I'm telling you, waking up to go back to sleep. It's bad. I was getting depressed.
Yes.
You know, I was getting depressed.
Yes.
And I had to go to a therapist for 2 years.
Yes. Yes.
Two years.
This fall will be my year anniversary with my current therapist. Mm-hmm. And we are on such an incredible journey together. I don't see it ending anytime soon because I'm getting so much like holistic benefit from our sessions and from the relationship that we have. But it's very interesting of how it manifests differently. I was my first sign of I am so stressed up to my eyeballs. When I start to completely zone out of everyday like family activities, cooking dinner, eating dinner with my husband and our child, watching a movie, but I'm not aware, I'm not here. I'm like dead behind the eyes, truly. Like, because I'm thinking and everything in my brain is, how can I fix this issue? How can I fix and change what's going on right now so I can feel differently? What do I need to be doing differently so that I don't feel like this? And it was a very similar situation that you're talking about where I was more tired. I was someone who's like, I mean, I was raised by women who never sat down, right?
And
there is a that's also an unlearning, right? Of like, you deserve rest.
I know it, girl. I know it.
Right? You deserve rest. You deserve to be horizontal. You deserve to stop doing. There is a lot of untangling from my physical productivity that I've had to make in the last few years. I had a really major surgery in my early 30s that drastically impacted my physical capabilities. Mm. And sometimes there are physical brick walls that we hit to make us slow down. And I think that was my first sign of the situation that you're in day to day isn't for you. It isn't healthy. It isn't for you.
Yeah.
And I, that thing, that business, that audience, that curriculum, that IP can exist mm-hmm. and serve people in amazing ways. And yeah. I don't have to sacrifice myself anymore to be a part of mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. And yeah, it, that means you're in alignment. You know, when I've learned that for myself, and then that's what I teach my clients is when it's hard to push, when it's hard,
yeah,
you're out of alignment. You're yes. out of your purpose. You're off yes. your road. You're off your yes. journey. They're like, what? Well, I need to work. I said, do you?
Right.
Right. No, seriously. I was like, do you?
Right. Do you?
Because
the consequences of not working might right. not be ideal.
Ideal, exactly.
But you cannot do it.
Ideal, right. And yes, it's going to be some challenges, but I've seen it. I don't think you might have gone to Italy, right? You've gone to Italy, right? Mm-mm, mm-mm. They break, when they break 12 to 2, the whole town closes.
Yep.
Nobody does nothing. Nobody does anything.
Yep.
Come on. So, yep. you know, we have to get to the place that we have to believe what we say and say those things and create, like you teach your clients, is to create, but also yep. with your mouth, but also yep. the mind. How do you create with the mind? What is the idea that you're going to put pen to paper or foot the pavement about? What is yep. it? What are you yep. going to do?
Yep.
What's the work you're going to put behind it? And I think that's the scary part of it. And I said, you think that all these companies, how do you think these companies started? One person mm-hmm. with an idea. Mm-hmm. And then they hired people. They got to a yep. place that they could hire. The same thing. It's just a small business in a larger yep. scale.
Yep.
So it could
here's the funny thing in your explanation of like, how do you think these big businesses started? And then they just grew and they grew and they grew. So at my old company, when I left, we had 7 full-time employees, 401k mm-hmm. benefits, PTO, like all the things. It lived and breathed and felt like a corporation, like a workplace job.
Right?
Yes,
it just yes, happened to yes.
be fully remote. My office yes. just happened to always be in my house, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, even probably a year and a half before I left, there were conversations right. I was having with my co-founder about, this doesn't feel fun anymore. We made right. the rules and this doesn't feel fun anymore. And I felt like we had modeled so many practices that we were using with our employees, with our team, with our students, modeled it so strictly off of corporate, because that's what the real workplace does. That's what mm-hmm. the real business owners do. And if we want to consider this real or legitimate, then we need to model it off of that. And I remember like going to some meetings, like literal one-on-ones and performance reviews and doing whatever, and sitting there being like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? This right, doesn't exactly. serve me at all. And I made these rules. So I left it.
Yeah. I love that. I really, really love that. And I'm glad you're saying something about we can make those rules. You know, I think yeah. sometimes we don't realize we have a choice.
Yes.
And we lose our voice to it. You know, I was talking, I had a group last night, and so I was trying to get them down to understanding who their ideal client was by understanding themselves. Because mm-hmm. sometimes,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and maybe you can chime in. I was trying to when I got into the coaching space, I was trying to do something that I wasn't familiar with. But the minute I started doing something that I was familiar with, I needed no paper, yep. not write nothing down. Yep. It was just came easy. And it was like, boom, 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 done. And it was like, yep. everybody loved it. But when I started to do something that wasn't what I wasn't aligned with, mm-hmm. it was harder. And yep. it didn't come out as good. So what am I saying about that? That our creativity has a lot to do that, but it also stay in alignment. If you stay in alignment with who you are, you'll affect your clients in that same level. So I affect my clients if I'm working with real estate
Yep.
People starting in real estate, boom, they know I know my business. I have clients. Boom, 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 coming in. If I'm going to teach what you do, you know,
right.
I'm going to teach somebody to ghostwrite or something. I don't know how to do that. Right. I'm going to fail miserably. So you, in order to know your ideal client, you got to know your ideal self. You got to know your real self. You just got it, right?
Yes, yes. We, I believe in this so much that I convinced a friend of mine who I've been asking for probably 7 years to, girl, you need a podcast. Like your insights are so great. Start a podcast, do it. And she's like, no, no, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. I just need someone to be there to like ask me questions. I can't just do a solo show. And I'm like, all right, fine. So finally, after I left my previous job, after I had more time on my plate, I remember specifically we're in the hot tub. I'm in the hot tub. She's in Wisconsin. We're on Voxer. So sending audio messages to each other. And we're talking about some marketing strategy or whatever, because that's what we do.
Right.
And I said, you know, this would be a really great podcast. And she's like, yeah, it would be. And I said, do you want to finally start that? Like, let's do it together. So we did it. She finally said yes. But the reason why I bring that up is because our podcast is called Lazy Business Podcast. And what I mean by that is when you're implementing strategies that are so aligned with how you expertly show up and how you want to work, it will feel lazy. Yeah. It will feel easy. Yes. It will feel like people pay me for this.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I say them, say, people ask me, you know, I have so many roles. So I'm the president of a chamber. I am also on a chair of a international organization. There's like, how do you have enough time in a day? I said, because I'm doing things that I love to do.
Yes.
And believe it or not, I don't have much to do. And they're like, what? I was like, I have to learn how to relax. And I think the universe is making me relax. Like, okay, go do something. Go lay on the couch. Go read a book. Do something. Do something.
Yep.
I was like, I really don't have a lot of time. I have a lot of time. You're like, no way. I said, yes way.
Yep.
Time management matters too. So
100%.
In that
creative
space.
Yes. Yep. And that's what I love helping, you know, my clients. I love making data-driven decisions. That's what I talk about with my clients all the time. We could sit here and throw spaghetti at the wall all day long. There's a time and a place for that. When you're just getting started, you don't know what's going to work. Throw the spaghetti at the wall and try it. But as soon as you've reached your first six figures and it's a consistent, like you know exactly what you could do to do that again and again and again, then we need to chat. And as soon as you're offering especially more than one service, more than one group program, more than one retreat, conference, whatever it might be, then you're going to sit there and you're going to say, okay, well, now I have a new financial goal, or I want to work even less and make a little bit more, or I want to hire some people and impact, you know, folks in my actual community and bring them on board, or I want to do an international retreat and that's going to take this much extra money to be able to do these things, right? You have different goals based in that business. You're going to start going back to the throwing the spaghetti at the wall in order to make that happen. But you're a big girl business owner now.
Right, exactly.
You have data. You have facts. You have a history of transactions and customers and communications. So my job is to help get all that data in one spot and then teach you how to start interpreting that data so that you can make decisions that are in alignment for the results that you want. That's it.
So I just want to make this clear. Is this like research or it's not research? It's doing using your data.
It's using your data.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We start by looking at the last 12 months. That's in our biz audit magic. We look at facts first before we predict the future.
There you go. I love that. Yeah, I do that with my own self. I didn't know what it was.
Right. We're doing a biz audit.
I had no idea what it was, but I look at like, okay, you know, when I was talking to you pre-show about working with women of color and how that I was kind of shamed out of doing that because a marketer told me not to. But I was looking at my data. I wasn't looking at anything else. I was looking at my data when I came up with this is who I work with, you know, and I could, I've worked with some men, in real estate, but most of the time it was women. 100% yep. of the time it was women, you know, and maybe a guy came along and said, oh, you know, I need help with this. And that was one guy
right.
out of 12 months, you know?
Yep.
And
yep.
so, yeah, it requires your data because you look at it and you excel from that. You know, you
yep.
plan from, okay, I did, you know, this is how many, you know, people I service. What am I going to do next year? Projections for yep. next year.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's being able to sit in the driver's seat of saying, if I yes. pull this lever, here's what could happen. And I want to make educated guesses about the actions in my business. And I want to know when I do wake up and I have a low bandwidth day, that if I've got to focus on the top priority that's going to get me the next result, what's the one thing that I could do today if I don't have that much time or energy or I don't feel great? Here's the thing that I could do. And sometimes that thing yes. is sleeping or drawing or making cookies. And I'm very much like when I talk about creativity, I talk about doing something with my hands. And it's not just for me. This is proven science of like when our hands and our minds are busy and focused on a thing, whether it's making cookies, making bread, coloring, knitting, playing, doing a puzzle, like anything like that, we are allowing ourselves to go in a type of meditative state that mm-hmm. is often really difficult.
Yes.
yes. often really mm. difficult to get there. And if you find yeah. yourself the person who's always ruminating on the task that's coming next and the things you need to do and what you need to buy and where you need to go and the appointments you need to make and all of those things, do something creative with your hands and you yes. will start to recognize that those voices are quieting down a little bit.
Ooh, and so good.
Yeah. When that happens, clarity can come. And
I'm going to tell you, I'm a big proponent of tapping, and I didn't know what it was
yes.
because it would calm me down. It would, you know, and I have, you know, it would calm me. And when I am meditating in the morning, it's too much, you know, everything's going through my head. I find yep. that I just start tapping and I focus on that tap.
Butterfly move.
Yep. Yep.
Double tap.
I just tap and I'm like, wow. I didn't think of nothing. you know,
exactly.
I didn't think of nothing at all.
Exactly.
And you really clear your mind. But yeah, it worked. It definitely works.
Yes.
Definitely works.
Yep. Yep. I love that. It's really funny because as I've been on my healing spiritual journey the last year and a half, right. I've been very adjacent to this space of manifestation, of tapping, of affirmations, of positive thinking, of all of these things. And I've always been someone who's been like, well, I get it. I can understand it. I can see how it works. And I've never been able to really implement it in my day-to-day. I'm not good at
right.
sticking to routines. I'm not good at meditating. I'm not good at focusing. I'm not good at stopping.
Yeah.
All of these things. I'm not good at journaling, right? Everyone always talks about the power of journaling. And I was
that's
not for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will tell you what, the more that I have become aware on this healing spiritual journey and intentionally introducing these aspects into my life, I mm-hmm. have journaled every single day for 37 days in a row now, looking at my calendar, 37 days in a row. I've never done that before in my life. Like that may seem not a big feat for people who journal all of the time. And this is a practiced habit,
yeah.
but I don't know. And I'm tapping every day and I'm, you know, reminding myself where my yeah. headspace needs to be. And I'm regulating my nervous system. Mm-hmm, and it's mm-hmm. just this, it's a game changer.
It is. I said that too. And not to say anything about, you know, anybody's practice of religion. I said that, you know, prayer is different from meditation. You know, you can't replace it. You know,
right.
prayer is prayer. Meditation is meditation.
Right.
And I was doing it because I come from the childhood trauma, you know, sexual trauma area. So I had to find a way to release all those things that were going on
yep.
and the energy that was in my body because it started to take place. Like I would get these tumors everywhere.
Yeah.
I had one here that they had to take out, I had two in my breasts that were like banana sized and they didn't know where they came from. They kept saying, did you get hit by somebody? I said, no. Did you? And then he said, well, did you hit your chest? Or, and I was like, no. But I started to realize it was the trauma inside of me pinging around. Yep. And I was like, I got to get this under control, because yep. now I'm seeing how cancer starts.
Yes. Yeah.
Where it, yeah. Because it, I mean, I'm yes. telling you, I had a fatty tumor in my shoulder. It would started growing like I felt like the fly. Remember when the fly was the fly or the two headed? Remember back in the day, it was an old movie, black and white. It was a two headed man, and the eye showed up first in the neck. And I was like, this thing is getting bigger, and it was uncomfortable. Like it wasn't hurting, yep. but it was uncomfortable. And I went to the doctor. He's like, it's a fatty tumor.
Yeah.
I was like, what? He's like, yeah. He ended up cutting it open and then taking it out. I was like, well, good that you came, because if it had calcified, then that'd been another step that we had to take.
Oof.
And I'm like, when I started seeing that all over me, it's like, yeah, time yeah. to find something.
We need to process.
Time to release this.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to process, release, cleanse. Yep. Yep.
It yeah.
It's wild.
Change. Yeah.
It's wild. And the, yeah. I've been practicing the 369 manifestation journaling.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I've
I
been
just
doing.
Got involved with that. Yeah.
37 days in a row.
Yeah.
It's freaking magic. Like I yeah. don't, I, it is wild. Yeah. It is wild. Right. It is the one thing that I'm like, I am committed to doing this every single yeah. day, no matter what. And right. it is, as soon as I do it for the day, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to do this tomorrow. Because I can't wait to see like what magic unfolds as I continue this process.
Yeah.
And that's been really exciting for me, for someone who's consistently not great at keeping routines. I'm the right. routine I can keep is not keeping routines. Like that's
yeah, what I can keep a routine. I just get bored real quick.
Like, oh, okay, yes. This is boring. Oh, yes. Yep. I'm done.
This is yes. boring.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I, it's wild. And it's
yeah,
the permission to finally give yourself this space to recognize that there might be yeah. something better for you.
No, absolutely.
Even through the difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being open to accepting whatever comes your way, because everything's not for you. You try, I tried yoga and I'm pretty good at it. I just don't, okay, I'm one. Okay. So what does it get me though? Like, yeah. you know, I'm always the one, what does it get me? Like
yeah.
the next step is being tangled up. Okay. What is it getting me? What is that getting me? Like, I don't know what was the end result. I'm doing all these moves. What's my end result? You know, it wasn't for me, because I didn't get the full picture of it. And it really wasn't for me to get the full picture, because it wasn't mine. So it wasn't mine. So I moved on to Tai Chi. You know, I tried that. I said, okay, I can do that. But it really yep. wasn't for me. And then just, I'm telling you, walking was the thing.
Yeah.
Walking.
Oh, I love a walk.
Weather.
Oh, I
any
love
type
a walk.
Of weather. Every day, melt the pounds, keeps me yeah. active, keeps me moving, melt yeah. the pounds. I may do some weightlifting in between there. But it works. And 15 minutes of movement, that's mm-hmm. all I needed. 15 yep. minutes of movement. That's it. That's yep. it. A
I
day.
Love that.
15 yeah. minutes of movement keeps your weight down. You know, all of that. It's just 15 minutes of movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so yep. it matters. It really works. It works. I tell you, I love it. I love yeah. learning, being
yes.
open to those portals that come
yes.
in, you know. The quantum leaping, you know, all of that is just.
Yep. Yep. It. Yeah. It's the same process I had before, you know, as I was mulling over the like, oh, I think I might need to leave this job. I might need to step
yeah.
away from all of this
yeah.
was the, I can recognize that it had gotten me so far and it had taught
yeah.
me so much about myself and I had learned
yeah.
so
yeah.
much, but I felt like in the same way where you were talking about the, you know, round peg in a square hole. Like
yeah.
it's exactly how I started to feel in the sense of like, I want this to be something different than what it is so that it can serve
yeah.
me again. And it's
yeah.
not, it can't change. It's me.
No, No. And it'll change you, but you will never change it.
Exactly.
You will never change it. And that's that. I thought it was my ego that was doing that when I was, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this has to change because I'm here. You know, I think I'm supposed, because I'm a believer in whatever I touch, I leave it better than I got it.
Yeah.
You know, and literally the job that I received, they had no title for it. They had no job description. I gave it existence. I created it. You know, I became that. I embodied it. And to this day, they can't even fill it because I created it. That's the problem. You know, you can't fit somebody in something that I created it. You didn't know what to do with it. I created it. I did everything for it. So I left it in a better situation than I received it. But I thought I was going to make them better, make them communicate, build teams. Because here I am, a business owner, you know? And I'm sure where your space, you were like, I know how to do this, this, and this. Whether you're a homemaker or whatever it is, you work with teams, I'm sure. Right. You know, you
100%.
Work with teams.
Yes.
So
yes.
You know how to make a team work, you know?
And yes.
When I went there, I was like, I handled two offices with 15 agents in each. I could handle seven people. Yep. You know, I'm saying this to myself. Yep. Little did I know they were handling me because they're used to living and being like that.
Yeah.
So my son said to me, Mom, you can't put a free bird in a cage. Mm-hmm. You're a free bird.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. He said, you're a free bird. You can't do it.
Yep.
You can never do that. They will fight and scream and they will end up hurting themselves. And he was right. He's like, they will hurt themselves before that cage ever gets hurt.
Yep.
Ever.
They're trying to get out. Yep. The thing that my therapist always reminds me of is what's good for you is good for the whole. And if we believe that everything I touch, I leave better than it was before I got there.
Yes.
Then even me leaving is what's better for that.
It's what's better. That is correct. Because if they will, I'm going to tell you something. If you're in a toxic work environment, you make them suffer as well as yourself.
Yes.
Because they don't, number one, they don't know how to respond other than what they're responding and behaving to. They've always done it, always got away with it, and they don't know how to be any other way. So you're making them sick because they have to act different around you or avoid you altogether. So you're actually crippling the mission. If you even believed in the mission of the organization, you're crippling it because you're making them not act the way that they normally are. And you can't change them because it's the dynamics of their culture. It's almost like it has to be burned down.
Yes. Well, and that's
to start
like
over from ground
exactly
up
how
to,
I felt.
Establish, you know,
when I left, I was like, oh, I have 13 years of experience. And yet I'm standing here feeling like this brand new baby business owner.
Yes. Yes. And then I'm gonna tell you on the back end of it. Then they start to you make it a professional decision, educated decision in your field decision, and then they question you on that decision that makes sense, almost to say, did I make the right decision?
Right, right.
You know, you're like, wait, did I make the right decision? Was it the right? You know, you start to question yourself.
Yep.
You know, and that alone is your confidence getting sick. Is your confidence, you know, it's like a gut punch, you know?
Yep. Well, you know, the work I had to go through over that summer before I started, because I took the summer off to heal and grieve and process before I started taking on clients again. Like I needed 3 to 4 months to be by myself.
Right.
I needed money. We had no income coming in. It did not make sense to take that break. And I had to take that break.
Right.
And I had multiple conversations with people in that break of figuring out, oh, wow, I actually am dealing with a lot of imposter syndrome and self-doubt about what I can provide without the safety net of that company. and right. without the support of a business partner and right. a team and all of the things that we had, am I good enough to come back out into this space mm-hmm. and offer something different and right. start over and do what I need to do? Right. And I mean, the answer is yes, but I had to get there. I had to go through that process of that doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to get past it. So what are you doing in these coming months? Offering anything free, having workshops? What are you up to?
Yes, I actually am in the process of recording my first free resource right now. It's taken me a year to develop something free I'm excited. So it's a private podcast series for folks who are wanting to dip their toe into consulting or offer a new service offer. It's 6 figures to 6 months. It's the exact timeline and roadmap, actions and steps that I took to replace my 6-figure salary in 6 months when I started over. So I'm going to walk you through how to take the expertise that you do have, refine that into a service, price it, market it, and get it out there. Gotcha. So that freebie is coming up. You can literally grab that at creativescatalyst.com/roadmap. And then there are a couple of really cool ChatGPT tools that I've developed for folks who are mm-hmm. wanting to take that a step further. So, okay, you've listened to the podcast, you have an idea of what to offer, but you need help naming it, pricing it, literally structuring the package and your project management, scripts for client communication, writing your proposal, everything that's going to take you to landing that first client. I've created nine very custom, very labor intensive ChatGPT bots that I update on the back end, and you have the public access to those with worksheets that accompany those bots, script directions, everything. But you can have your service identified, price, package, proposal written, and scripts to start reaching out to your network in an afternoon by utilizing those tools. So those are all at creativescatalyst.com/learn.
Gotcha. Oh, that is so good. I know a couple of people and maybe even myself that might need that service.
They're really cool.
Thank you for that. Oh, it sounds cool. Sounds like a lot of fun too as well. Well, thank you so much for this lively and this poignant conversation. Yes. And I want to thank you for being here today. This brings us to the end of our show, but we want to thank you, audience, because you could be anywhere else you wanted to be, but you're here with us today, and we want to thank you for that. This is Edna White, your host, and my esteemed guest today, none other than the only Emily Williams, and we're saying goodbye for now.
Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
We're reconsidering everything right now. What is time post-COVID? What is truth in Trump's America? Is You've Got Mail secretly a movie about a creepy gaslighting stalker? We can't answer the first two questions, but we have opinions about the third. We on Hot and Bothered are revisiting romance movies of the past and asking, what were these movies teaching us? What did we not even realize they were teaching us? Hot and Bothered is me, Vanessa Zoltan, a pop culture critic and nice lady with opinions, and Hannah McGregor, a bona fide professor of media studies, loving love stories, and also just a little bit concerned. Come listen to Hot and Bothered.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
With more than 80 years of experience, no one knows FedLife like WEPA. WEPA has covered feds and their families since 1943 with exclusive group term life insurance protection. Current and former civilian federal employees can apply for up to $1.5 million in fully portable coverage that follows you wherever FedLife takes you, even if you change jobs or leave federal service. Explore coverage options now at WAEPA.org. WEPA. For feds. By feds.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.